finally a Monday nighter that we can all get behind, assuming you're not a Chargers fan. Welcome to another week of the Kauffman Show. Dave Kauffman and Jay Farrar here with you. Lots to talk about tonight. Great football game. Interesting baseball game. You can pinpoint the moment where that series has changed. And good to know that there's going to be a good NLCS. The ALCS is looking a little lacking right now. And yeah, how was your week?
It was good.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Better than these earphones.
Take a breath.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
In both ears?
Yeah. No.
In just, but in the good ear, right?
Only one.
Only one?
Only one.
Okay. All right.
I'm okay.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Good. Right. Good. You just get that off your chest, right off the top.
Jeez. Yeah, I'm all right.
All right, good. Good.
Yeah.
How was your week?
It was very good. It was very good.
Good. I think that you should dip into the giant Kauffman Show coffers that we have.
The what?
That huge treasure chest in the corner that's filled with loot.
Okay.
And pull out some money and go get yourself a pair of headphones for next week.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm sure I'll find some.
Maybe we'll go together.
Just look through the lost and found at the pub. I'm sure I'll get some.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Go through all the iPods that nobody wants anymore. And
just take the earbuds.
Yeah, I'll find them.
Headphones are the bane of our existence here. I try and show up early so I can test them all out and take the best pair for myself.
I knew you did that.
Yeah, well.
I knew you did that.
Early bird gets the worm.
You're that guy.
The guy that wants to hear his show properly.
That's right, yeah.
I am that guy. We've got ourselves a great show lined up for you tonight. And you know what? We don't mess around, Jay. We go right to it. Well, we can exchange pleasantries all we want. We can do it next segment.
Yeah, nobody cares.
You
nobody
can tell
cares.
Us your feelings.
We tell about, yeah, yeah.
Next.
Screw the small talk, Dave. Let's get to work here.
Good, because we've got our favorite guest lined up.
Uh-huh.
And nothing better than knowing that Dave Zirin is going to join us. He is the editor of the sports section of The Nation, America's oldest magazine. He also contributes to ESPN. The New York Times has his own website, Edge of Sports.
The new Alex Jones of sports.
I wonder what he says to that.
Yeah.
Let's bring in Dave. Hello, Dave Zirin. How are you, sir?
Oh, I just can't believe what I just saw. I just saw Philip Rivers use his own head as a rectal thermometer on national television.
Luckily, we had it on radio here as well, too, which that makes for an even better visual.
I've never seen it. I didn't know that you could watch that without it being on pay-per-view or in some dark, sticky theater, but there Philip Rivers was doing his thing.
What does the mindset in San Diego after a game like this? I mean, you got to figure that this, if anything, will put Norv Turner on a bit of a hot seat.
Yeah, I think that is the mindset right now. It's like what kind of pictures does Norv Turner have of the Spanos family that's allowing him to keep his job for so long? You remember when Marty Schottenheimer was fired? Like, how dare you go 13-3 and lose in the first round of the playoffs? We need a real coach. Get Norv Turner in here.
Well,
and,
this
know,
was
that's
epic.
Not usually how that sentence ends.
No, it's
Get
not.
Norv Turner in here. So it's not a very talented club. They're in an exceptionally weak division, probably the worst division in the National Football League, and one that they should still win, hands down, given the level of talent on the other teams. And yet you would take a noodle-armed Peyton Manning at this point with a pretty lousy supporting cast and wide receivers who seem to trip over shadows right in the middle of the field. You seem would take that over you would a flawed yet seemingly more complete San Diego Chargers team that seems to have no sense of purpose, no sense of identity, and no idea what they're doing on a football field.
Which really can describe a bunch of teams at this point in the season. You know, I think to the Jets,
especially
with their win
end.
Notwithstanding, it goes across the board. Buffalo right now.
Oh, absolutely. The entire AFC looks like the junior varsity at this point. I think as a conference, they're two games over 500, I believe, and they just look completely out. A deep and brutal National Football Conference. Now, that doesn't mean the NFC is necessarily going to win the Super Bowl. We've seen weird things happen once that day comes around, but certainly that if there's any rhyme or reason to this season, it will end with a National Football Conference team winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, as much as I'm excited that my Dolphins are 3-3 and could have been 5-1 if two overtimes had gone a little bit differently, I'm not expecting them to
AFC,
do anything.
The AFC is so bad that I think the Raiders have a chance this year.
Wow. you know, I don't even think the owner of the Dolphins calls them my Dolphins. So that's really impressive. Know that they have a fan somewhere.
That's great. Dave, let's move on to the lockout because, frankly, we don't get to talk hockey very much. We do sort of delve in and out of labor sometimes. But you brought something to the forefront today with your article in The Nation about, is it pronounced Proskauer or Proskauer Rose?
Proskauer.
Proskauer Rose. These boys are...
The Halliburton of the sports.
We'd call them that, but they probably represent them.
Yeah.
So. They probably are doing some work. I mean, you could pretty much put the name of that law firm in with any company, no matter how brutal across the spectrum, and you get something. First, just to tell the listeners, people who aren't aware of this, and this certainly wasn't anything I was aware of until I was researching the article, but Proskauer Rose holds the historical distinction of being the first law firm to ever be the lead negotiator and counsel for all four major sports leagues in North America, baseball, hockey, football, and basketball. It all comes back to Proskauer Rose. And the thing about Proskauer Rose that's really interesting, of course, is that we've seen four sports lockouts in the last 14 months. You know, of course, every sports league except for Major League Baseball, and you have, of course, the referees that took place, and Proskauer Rose is behind that strategy each and every step of the way. And on top of it, once again, this is the other layer of it. This lovely law firm also represents ExxonMobil, Chevron. They're one of the British Petroleum. I mean, they're one of the biggest private equity firms in the United States. That's like Bain Capital. You know, you buy companies, you tear them apart, you pick the meat off the bones, and then you light it on fire in the town square in a burning hut, and you call that progress. That's what these guys do. Now, to me, this raises a lot of really important questions, like, hello, fans over here, how you doing? You know, it's nice that you have your little corporate raider strategy, but there are those of us who actually enjoy watching the games. There are those of us whose taxes actually paid for the stadiums. There are those of us who might have friends or family who either work in the stadium or work at restaurants or parking lots outside the stadium, and we should kind of matter too and have a say in this and not have our lives overrun by Proskauer Rose.
Interestingly enough, Dave, there are a couple of pretty big alumni from the firm that are running.
That's the craziest
of the
part
four,
of the
right?
whole article.
Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, well, no, that was my Halloween twist at the end.
Yeah, it was. Wow.
That was the din-in-in. It's like, they're people. Is because it's like they're because if people say, and people might very reasonably say, gee, can we do something that actually gets this law firm out of sports? And it's like, well, all right, you can remove Proskauer Rose from these processes, but guess what? Two former partners of Proskauer Rose are David Stern and Gary Bettman. So their influence on this process, the firm's influence, is all over the world's professional sports, no matter what we do. So, you know, we better figure out a different strategy than just to say the problem is this firm. Well, no, it's not this firm. It's like this metastasizing reality that exists in management of professional sports on all levels.
Another thing that's interesting about it that you had mentioned in your article is the sheer hypocrisy of the National Football League when it comes to this breast cancer campaign.
Yeah. Once again, something I was not aware of until I was researching this article is that you, of course, you know, you've got the sight of the lovely sight of seeing a svelte, attractive gentleman like John Fox and North Turner festooned in pink on the sidelines of a National Football League game. I mean, it just makes John Fox look more and more kind of red. I mean, he's like this red grimace on the side. You know, this purple grimace from McDonald's. He's like a pink grimace, and the pink doesn't really help him. And it's that's, of course, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You know, there have been reports that show that the whole Awareness Month nets about $4 million for the Susan G. Komen Foundation that fights breast cancer, and nets the National Football League somewhere in the like $19 million in terms of the merchandise that they're able to sell and produce, that people buy, particularly women fans buy. with all that pink. But that's neither here nor there. The thing in the article is that I just found it terribly ironic that given how omnipresent all the pink is for a month in the National Football League, that the very firm of the National Football League, Proskauer Rose, is being sued right now by their former chief financial officer, a woman named Ellie Rosenthal, who was, she wasn't some sort of fly-by-night employee either. She was their CFO for 16 years. And she says this is obviously not someone who's prone to be litigious in any way, shape, or form. And she is suing them because she's saying they fired her because she took time off from work for, what was it, breast cancer treatment. It's, I mean, that's what this firm is that they're the kind of firm that would represent the NFL in all everything it does with all its breast cancer awareness while firing its own CFO who needed to take a few weeks off for chemotherapy. So this is who's involved in getting in between fans and the games that we love.
Similar to that law firm in the movie Philadelphia, eh, Dave?
Not dissimilar whatsoever. Not dissimilar at all, except you know, Philadelphia, that's kind of a small-time city. I mean, these guys are New York all the way, baby.
You know, it's interesting. I saw somebody, I think it was through Bruce Arthur, that was commenting on the article tonight and saying that basically these guys are just lawyers and they're enforcing the law as it is. The problem goes down to the labor laws.
Yeah, that was Mike McCann. Bruce put out, Bruce Arthur, who I'm a big fan of, even though, like I've said this before, like his Twitter picture looks disturbingly like the clay sculpture that the blind lady makes in the Hello Lionel Richie video of Lionel Richie.
Jesus.
And I don't quite understand it, you know. People who don't know what I'm talking about, you either need to be 20 years older than you are or get on YouTube, see the Hello video. It's very moving. neither here nor there. So, but Bruce is an awesome, he's probably my favorite working sports writer right now. He's fantastic. But Bruce put out a post that said, yeah, I agree with this. And Michael McCann, I believe his name is, who does the sports labor writing for Sports Illustrated, wrote that, responded and said, well, the problem isn't this firm. The problem is U.S. labor law that allows it. And, you know, Bruce made the point, and I think it's a very good point in response, where he said, well, yeah, labor law is the problem, but it's still these guys who are exploiting the problems in U.S. labor law to make this a reality. It's not like it's the labor law doing it. It's, you know, it's these guys who are having like no ethical kind of consideration, compass, or roadmap whatsoever. Just people who are saying like, how do we, you know, really get over on the players, on the fans, on the stadium workers, et cetera. I mean, I think people got to realize this. That like the lockout, the concept of the lockout. Like this idea that says, we're the bosses, we got a ton of money, you don't, we can outlast you, we're going to starve you out. I mean, this is something that used to be considered like the third rail of U.S. collective bargaining and labor management. Like a lockout was like, oh my gosh, a lockout. Hmm. And by pushing it through sports, they're normalizing the lockout as a technique that's just part of labor collective bargaining.
See, but that's terrifying.
And that's very scary.
Yeah, exactly. That's terrifying. And sports has become this microcosm for all the big injustices in society right now.
No, exactly. And the idea of normalizing something is really scary because, of course, NHL players aren't going to starve to death, not even Alexander Ovechkin with some of his appetites if they're locked out. But at the same time, it's like when you normalize something like this and use the cultural platform of sports to do it, then it actually does have a brutal trickle-down approach at all aspects of U.S. society.
What's interesting, Dave, is that at the end of the day, there are certain moments where we can put all of this in the back of our mind and just concentrate on the game. And I think one of those examples for you would be last Friday with the Nationals game.
Oh, you mean when things were even worse?
Well, no, I don't mean it that way. I mean in the sense that there are certain moments where the big business doesn't matter, where the fact that the city of Washington got totally screwed on building that stadium doesn't matter. It was about the game that night. And I think for you and the heartbreak that you suffered, first of all, I got to admit to a little bit of schadenfreude in the moment.
I'm sure.
But I think for a lot of Expos fans, it endeared them to the franchise a little bit more. It allowed Expos fans to say, hey, now you understand, now you get what we've been through.
Mm-hmm. No, and I hear you. And I think all, you know, 73 Expos fans who are in
Dave.
Montreal probably
together.
And...
Oh, Dave.
I'm just kidding. This is my bitterness peering out here.
Yeah, I've never sensed that from you before.
Somebody on Twitter was like, hey, I thought you were Mr. All High and Mighty about teams that move. How dare you root for the Nationals? And I didn't respond to that because part of the response is, you know what, you're right. It's not necessarily rational about who we root. And maybe it would be harder for me to root for the Nationals if Jeff Loria went with them to D.C. I mean, the fact that we didn't have to get that guy certainly makes it at least somewhat more, at least superficially palatable. But I definitely, as someone who grew up loving Charlie Lee and Bill Lee and Steve Rogers and that entire staff, Elias Sosa out of the bullpen, I love those guys. And so
you're the only guy who ever mentions Elias Sosa on Montreal Sports Radio. Hats off to you, man.
No problem. No, I'm proud to mention Elias Sosa. I'm proud to say that that Warren Cromartie and Ellis Valentine who was the third? Andre Dawson, of course, had the potential to be the greatest outfield across the board in the history of Major League Baseball. If not felled by injury, and I'll defend that, and probably lose that argument every time. But still,
congratulations! You just became the 74th Expo fan, Dave Zirin.
I'll take it.
All to say, are you okay? Is the city of Washington okay right now?
No. I mean, I'll tell you something. When this is going to sound crazy, but look, this is first and foremost a football town to the nth power. And when RG3 ripped off that 78-yard run yesterday and ran that final 40 yards in 4 seconds flat while looking backwards at everybody else. I mean, that went a long way to, at the very least, putting a nice Band-Aid on the gushing wound that was Friday. And so that helped. Without question, that helped. If the burgundy and gold had blown that game, I mean, I think the capital of the United States today might be Altoona, Pennsylvania. Like, the whole city would have just closed shop. But it was ugly on Friday. Make no mistake about it. And it was an ugly weekend too, because, you know, I was so mad. I put out a column about they never should have shut down Strasburg.
Right.
And the response to that was people telling me, like, too soon. How dare you? No, the problem was Drew Storen, as if one has anything to do with the other. But it led to like a lot of like weird infighting over the next 48 hours, and frankly made worse by the fact that we don't have the Washington Capitals, which certainly, I mean, this has really become over the last couple of years a hockey town right after football. And to not have the Capitals to sort of fall back on, and to know that the Wizards, I mean, this is the only time of the entire year that the Wizards are going to be tied for first place in any way, shape, or form is now. The lockout culture, you felt that over the weekend too.
But you've got the craziest sport of all going on in Washington, D.C. right now. It's election season.
That is true. unfortunately, it's politics, and therefore, no matter who wins, we lose. Thank you very much. as the Simpsons said so well, no matter who you vote for, you're doomed.
Don't blame me. I voted for a third party.
Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos.
Dave, we're going to bring you out on a little bit of a Governor Ryan jam like we like to do. It's either the Beastie Boys or Rage Against the Machine for you. And
nice.
We'll send this one out to Governor Ryan. Tell everybody to please go on to thenation.com and read your stuff. And
bring down the New World Order.
You know, Governor Ryan was a lead singer of Rage Against the Machine, according to Governor Ryan.
Yeah,
I don't know if you knew that.
His dreadlocks at the time were amazing, but he had to get rid of them. Totally unelectable as a Republican.
Absolutely.
Dave, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. And we'll leave the 30 for 30 conversation for next time, because I have a feeling you got something really cool cooking up on that.
Oh, yeah, Elias Sosa, 30 for 30. No, just kidding. We'll talk about it next time, though.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
That's Dave Zirin. Check him out on Twitter at Edge of Sports. Read him on The Nation at Edge of Sports, ESPN, New York Times, and a whole bunch of places. And you can hear him on The Kaufman Show.
For it's the end of history. This cage of vultures still. There is no other pill to take. So swallow the one that makes you ill. Worry up, repeat up, let's act up. Worry up, what you said, what we wish, the fields overseer. The ages are on it, the priest of Hiroshima. Because of my desire to sleep now in the fire.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar here with you. TSN Radio 690 in beautiful Montreal.
Sports is always a microcosm, as you say, for what's going on in society. Otherwise, you and I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Well, I don't know. We could,
We could play some old Howling Wolf records or...
Well, that I'm totally cool with.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Jay. I don't know if everybody looks at it that way. I don't know if everybody necessarily takes their seat at this microphone with that idea in mind.
I don't think a lot of people look at it that way, but we do, and that's what we're here to tell people.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
And it's fun to look at the fun maybe isn't the right word, but it's I enjoy looking at the injustices that we see around us and maybe discussing things that don't always get discussed. A good example of that, actually, is Lance Armstrong, who basically got tarred, feathered, and burnt at the stake this week.
Yeah.
And I think that the story is pretty much over from here on out.
Let's hope so. It's annoying.
What do you mean?
It's just annoying. It's done with. It's over. It's pretty much, like you said, he got tarred and feathered this week, and I guess he held his head up too high a few weeks ago when the story first came out that his all his wins would be taken away from him. He didn't suffer enough, I guess, so they decided that they were going to go after him again and, you know, beat a dead horse a little bit, I guess.
You know, for the longest time, I had the frame of mind that, well, the dude's going to cure cancer, so... You know, doesn't matter what he does, he's going to cure cancer.
Right.
Thing is, there was an article that came out about a month ago that really put a light on what the Live Strong Foundation does. And it's more so for people who are living with cancer. Now, that's so important. And quality of life and the ability to live, people are living longer and longer with cancer with modern medications and things like that. I feel like the Live Strong people are giving off the impression, because it's beneficial to Lance's persona, that they're trying actively to cure the disease. I think that changes everything. To me, that changes everything.
You think they're being untruthful in their what they really want to do?
I think there's a difference between lying and not telling, not fully disclosing.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody wants to propagate a lie that allows them to look better, then... Hey, that's life.
Well, yeah, right? Well, welcome to the real world.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, that's clear.
514-790-1690, that's 514-790-1690. If you're out of town, 1-866-896-2546. This is the Kaufman Show, and the phone lines are open. Let's go to Dave on a cell. Good evening, Dave.
Hey, Dave. Old friend, Davey. How you doing?
Hey, Dave. How are you, man?
Not too bad. Yeah, Lance Armstrong, you know, he raised a boatload of money, even here in our own backyard for Cedars Cancer, but doesn't make it right. He's a fraud. It's, I mean, you know, deny, and but he did definitely raise, you know, a boatload of money for cancer. Anyway, I don't care about that. I don't care about the Canadians. I want to know your reaction, Dave. I want to know where you were and what you were thinking
on Friday night.
In the ninth inning, I was on the phone with my buddy, who you know, and I said, you know what, if they have any Expos in them, they're going to blow it. I saw it all happening. And, you know, Cards have an unbelievable team. And Descalzo, all these guys, John Jay, I mean, Craig, who's unbelievable. I mean, they lose Pujols, they lose La Russa, and, you know, they make it happen all the time. It's unbelievable watching the Cardinals.
Didn't have Carpenter all year. I mean, just incredible stuff, this team.
Yeah, only one who had a hit tonight, I think.
Well, he had the
he hit another double. Yeah,
he hit the double, exactly.
He had a run-scoring double. And tell that other guy who was just on, I'm the 76th Expos fan.
Good to know. Yeah. You know what? I think we're at
75. We're at 75, I think.
I understand that the guy's going through a lot of pain right now, and that if you're a Nationals fan, that hurts. I'll tell you exactly where I was, Dave. I was at home, and I was watching it on the couch, and I was...
as was I, right on the couch.
I couldn't move. I was stuck to that game, and at 6-0, I started making plans to go drinking.
For sure.
I literally started making plans. I started calling people and saying, okay, what's the plan? Where are we going drinking? I can't deal with this. I was fully planning to stay and watch all 27 outs.
100%. I wasn't going to move. I mean, even at 6-0, I'm like, you know what? If they just chip away, make it a ball game, at least I can enjoy like an exciting ball game.
Because, but I was depressed,
I mean,
man.
The playoffs have been unbelievable this year so far.
It depressed the hell out of me. I thought I would be more prepared for it than I was. And this kind of feels like a bit of a year-long reprieve, and now I've got another year to mentally prepare myself for it. Because this is a good ball club, Dave. They're going to be around for a while.
100%. You know, and I don't know about the Strasburg shutdown, but I don't know if it would have made a difference. I mean, the pen obviously blew it, but if that was us in the Olympic Stadium watching that, that's all I was picturing. I mean, I felt so bad for the fans, but all I could think about is if that were actually in the stadium and we watched that, I think I would have brought myself up to the upper deck and jumped off.
Oh, man. You know what? That's one thing I haven't done is put myself in the shoes of if that was the Expos blowing it. And I think part
but
of that
But you
was,
are, though. You
no,
are.
No, I'm not. Because
you're upset.
But it's
you
a different kind
to.
Of upset. My mind was totally prepared for them winning, not for them losing. I never at any point had...
Well, then you're still putting your shoes in.
But it's a different kind of... There was.
I just felt for the fans. I like St. Louis better. I mean, I know they were the Expos. There's not one player except for... But, you know, a lot of personnel... There's a handful of guys, three or four guys who are from the Expos.
Yeah, but that's on every major league team. Every single one has three or four guys from the Expos. But it's true.
Exactly. I know.
It's true. So, yeah.
Anyway, Dave, I'll if you got to go soon, I just one more last story. What was
of course.
Was I was in Miami in August, and I swore on my life I would never go see a Florida game. And I was down there, you know, a bunch of times. I had a bunch of opportunities to go. And finally, the last time I was there, they were playing the Dodgers at the beginning of August. And at least I got to see Juan Rivera. But I got invited in a lodge. I didn't pay a penny for anything. Parking, $150 ticket. Gigantic lodge. I mean, you know, like five of the Canadian lodges put into one, pretty much. Unbelievable stadium. But
it's a nice pinball machine, isn't it?
Yeah, with that stupid, the only stupid thing, the Marlin in the background. Thank God I didn't see that go off. I mean, you could walk around the entire stadium and still have a view. It's an unbelievable park.
Well, the fine people of South Florida paid for that with their hard-earned tax dollars.
Yeah, it's too bad, which they don't have, because it's like...
An Expos blood money.
But the craziest thing was on the way back when we left, I mean, driving there and leaving, listening to Dave Van Horn, it was so painful. It was so nice to hear his voice, but so painful. I'm in a stadium where Laurence hasn't built, which should be in Montreal, with either Elliott, who I love too, was a great announcer, but I mean, he can't. DBH was I know, nostalgic hearing that, man. It was terrible.
I miss Terry Haig.
Terry Haig was great, too. L.A. Price and Haig, so many calls, you know. Haig. Vladimir tomahawking a laser beam. I mean, it was...
Dave, I have such vivid memories of you and I sitting in your apartment in London, Ontario, some September, 100%. Watching Expos on game day, on ESPN game day. So
every
it was just the view
game.
Of the diamond, and we'd sit in that little corner office that you and KJ used to have.
Unbelievable, yeah.
And just hit refresh for hours on end.
Oh, jeez. Guys, that is so ghetto.
No, it is ghetto. It was ghetto. But I mean,
it was all we had, damn it.
Jeez.
They were right, and they were there in a couple of those years, you know? I mean, 2003. I speak about 2003 so often.
That's like me watching porn when it was still scrambled.
Oh, Blue Nui. Blue Nui on Channel 5 scrambled.
Well, luckily, that was the only one that wasn't scrambled. Dave,
no, that was the one that wasn't scrambled. It was the pay-per-view.
Exactly. Yeah,
it was softcore. Nobody was watching.
We all had the box in TMR. We didn't have to watch scrambled porn, right, Dave?
Yeah.
Thanks so much for the call, man.
DirecTV where we have to go refresh our card every 4 hours at the guy in frickin' Shattagator.
Hey, let's not give out any free shout-outs now. Come on. Dave,
anyway,
thanks so much for a call, man.
You guys are awesome. Keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you. Don't be a stranger.
Take care.
Thanks a lot. Let's keep this rolling. 514-790-1690, 1-866-896-2546. Let's go to John in Denver, Colorado. Hello, John.
Gentlemen, how are you tonight?
We're very good. How are you, sir?
I am fantastic.
Oh, yeah? Why? What's going on?
That
Broncos win?
Yes.
Sorry, what sport are you talking about?
American football.
I don't think I'm familiar with the rules on that.
We're not.
Okay. No, eh? What's going on in that?
What are you, a referee?
No, we actually had the game broadcast right here live on TSN 690 before we came to air. And yeah, how about that second half?
I've watched football my entire life, and I'm still not sure how they won that game. Or how I should say Philip Rivers gave it up.
That's it. I think it wasn't a matter of them winning as much as San Diego thinking that the game was only 30 minutes long.
Give Peyton a little bit of credit there.
Oh my!
I'll give him the tiniest little bit of credit.
Oh, come on.
It was equal credit, San Diego choking and Peyton Manning being brilliant.
There you go.
Manning being brilliant. Manning being Manning, right?
Yeah.
He's no Eli.
Ha! Well done, sir. I got no retort for that one.
What else is going on, John?
I wanted to chime in a little bit on that Lance Armstrong thing.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say, mm-hmm. and you know I'm a huge supporter of him.
I did not know that, no.
Well, I am and have been for some time.
Okay.
The only reason I have issue with how this was done was not what they uncovered. I'm pretty sure it was dirty, but it's how they got the information that bothers me.
What do you mean?
Railroading those people, basically. You've heard about the stories, right, from U.S. anti-doping?
Yeah, they convinced his entire team to testify against him.
That, however, it's how they kept going after him.
It's like a RICO case. It's the same thing. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
the guy did something wrong, and the law uses whatever means possible in order to get a confession or to basically prosecute him.
And when you mess with the law in the way that he did, in a way that was so overtly sticking his middle finger in the air and doing whatever he wanted whenever he wanted, the government's going to go back at you 10 times as hard. And we saw that with
drinking champagne while you're still on the bike.
I think that's in France.
Isn't that
that's
DUI?
Allowed.
Isn't that a DUI everywhere else in the world except in the middle of the bike race?
In France, regular people can ride bikes down the street drinking champagne, okay?
They do. You ever try to drive in Paris? Ugh.
I've never been to Paris. I've been to Quebec City, which I hear is much at all, not at all like Paris.
I would imagine that it is a very small and not at all like... driving in Montreal, though, is a whole other...
Yeah, there are way too many one-way streets there.
Anyway, look, the way I see it about Lance Armstrong is that I think he deserves whatever he gets. If you read the testimony and see what he put his teammates, the... fantastic article in the New York Times this weekend with his soigneur Is that how the English would pronounce Soigneur? I don't know. S-O-I-G-N-E-U-R, like somebody who... basically, she would bathe them and give them massages and...
Oh, I see.
Dress their
wounds. The masseuse.
The masseuse. But also, it turns out one of the integral jobs that she had was to cover bruises from needles, from steroid usage with makeup. So nobody would see when these guys were out racing, all the bruises.
Really?
Yeah.
With what? Using what? Cover-up?
Cover-up.
But what about when they sweat and stuff? Well, I don't know anything about... I'm not
question.
Pretending to
why
know
would,
anything about cover-up.
Why wasn't U.S. Postal then represented by Maybelline?
I think because it might have raised a few too many flags, John. You know what? Actually, I want to ask you a question. We got you on the phone. You're one of the most passionate American hockey fans that I know.
I am.
Do you miss it?
Yes.
Are you... What are you doing?
Terribly.
And will you go back when it comes back?
Depends how long it's gone. If they blow another season, I will find myself supporting minor league hockey and college hockey.
And especially a team like the Avalanche, who are one of the teams that are going to suffer from this kind of lockout. They're not playing. They're a young team that needs to be playing right now so that they can develop
yeah.
even more. So they're one of the NHL teams that are going to suffer a lot.
Especially. I don't know. Oops, sorry, Jay.
No, go ahead.
I don't know why, but I'm cautiously optimistic about tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I have such a different vibe from that. I supposedly tomorrow, which is Tuesday, if you're listening to this on a Thursday, the NHL is going to be presented with a proposal by the NHLPA that is, what, did I hear the term radical? A radical new proposal?
Yeah. There's some hyperbole for you.
Mm-hmm.
Radical.
It's going to be a rad proposal, man. Spicoli's delivering
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's going to, yeah. It's going to be very Sean Penn-esque.
John, thanks for the call, man.
Hey, cheers,
Let's
gentlemen.
Hope they come back soon. Give you something to do in Denver. Things to do in Denver when you're dead. Let's go to Montebello and say hi to the chef.
Hey, boys. How are we doing?
Good. What's up?
What's up? Okay, where do we start out? Do we go to the Nationals? No. Screw them.
We can talk about the Nationals.
Wherever
if
you,
want.
You want, man.
That's right.
No, seriously. Christine St. Clair. I'm not a soccer fan whatsoever, except for what she did for soccer during the Olympics. Suspended for 4 games. I really, really seriously hope that people in Canada get behind her in some way, shape, or form, do some type of donations for Soccer Canada, because basically what she said is everything we were all thinking at home, that we got screwed. Unfortunately, we can't do anything about it, and we're Canadians. And God forbid the Canadian should defy some type of authority somewhere in the world. I mean, we're not allowed to do that. What do you guys think about that? Seriously.
I think that any nationality, any player who had spoken out like that probably would have faced some kind of repercussion from the governing body. Now, do I think it's right? Absolutely not. Do I think Canada got screwed in that game? 100%.
You don't think it's right that she spoke up?
I think it's very right that she spoke
okay.
up.
Okay.
But I also have, you know, they let her play in. There was a very big chance right after she said what she said that she wasn't going to be allowed to play in the gold
mm-hmm.
medal game.
Mm-hmm.
At least she got to play in the gold medal game. Now,
right.
what would this? The one way that this would infuriate me, they 4-game ban, right, Chef?
Yep.
Okay. If this 4-game ban is carried over to international competition, and that happens to interfere with the 2015 World Cup in Canada,
ooh.
Then yeah, this is a major screw job, and something needs to happen. Until you can convince me that that's the case, I mean, Canada automatically qualifies for that tournament as the host nation.
I would hope so.
No, they do. So let's cross our fingers that there are 4 exhibition friendlies against Botswana and Trinidad and Tobago.
Her fine is somewhere in the area of $8,000, something like that.
Again,
which I think we could probably consider it's already paid for.
Or we could do a Kickstarter campaign
like they do for albums and stuff.
I'm pretty
sure somebody's already written her a check.
But the thing is, the unfortunate thing is we haven't heard about this yet, that somebody has actually written her a check. Mm. Or written her a check, because, I mean, it's ridiculous that this amateur athlete, because exactly what she is, should have to defend the whole freaking nation, for God's sakes. And it was, maybe I'm getting a little carried away with that, because what I'm really, really happy about is that the Nationals lost.
Again, now...
Back to
now,
the Nationals.
Well, and I understand that.
Yeah.
You know what, we've been talking about them since April, or at least since December of 2005.
No, it's good. I could talk about the Nationals all day.
But guys, they honestly tried to screw with baseball karma. I mean, I cannot ever, ever, ever accept that a team would openly be ready to lose a year when they have the things in place to actually win. I mean, I can never get over the fact that someone would not try to win 100% of the time, all the time. And it's basically exactly what they did with Strasburg. And you know what I really seriously hope happens?
What?
Blows his arm out in week 12, Nick.
No.
No, I'm serious.
Come on, don't be that guy.
Dave, no, seriously. You don't screw with baseball karma. These people, the fans, I feel terribly bad for the people in Washington who are real fans of baseball and stuff like that, because you do everything you possibly can for your team.
My heart broke for Nationals fans on Friday because I finally understood that they feel pain too. It was the first time that I saw Nationals fans upset.
And at the same time, I said...
And what the worst part of it, Chef, for me, being totally honest here, and if you guys want to go back to Friday night on my Twitter feed, I was very quiet. Normally, I'll live tweet a ball game, especially one that I have an interest in. And this one, I didn't want to write anything that would make me come off as a bitter prick like I felt.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, I took a lot of joy out of that loss. And I feel a little bit guilty about it.
I did at the same time, exactly. Feeling guilty for
the dread I felt when it was 6-0. I cannot describe it. I feel like if I was to go into it into great detail, people would think that I was living in 2004.
Okay, well, go for it, buddy.
He's gonna live.
No, Chef, no. That's what my shrink's for.
It's not about karma, guys. It's really got nothing to do with karma. It's about the game of baseball itself. I enjoyed it because this is the greatest part about baseball, is that you have to end the game. You're not fighting against the clock. It is on you. You have to finish. You've got to throw that last strike. You've got to catch that last fly ball. It's got nothing to do with the Nationals for me. I've stopped thinking about the Nationals as the Expos. The only time I thought about it was when Bob Costas was doing a whole commentary about the Expos, and he was showing the Gary Carter and Andre Dawson and all that stuff up, the banners up on the stadium, which should not be there, And there was a lot of guys in the audience wearing Expos caps and things like that. That was the only time I thought about it, when they reminded me.
Rammed it down your throat.
Yeah, exactly. And I sincerely mean that. I stopped thinking of them as the Expos as I watched it more and more and more and more. In fact, I was kind of rooting for them a little bit, like I said.
You said that in the last few weeks.
I want them to win because, if anything, the casual fan will look upon this and say, wow, you know, what happened to our team? That used to be us.
Nationals made a lot of fans in this city on Friday night.
Yeah.
Because finally...
I wasn't a fan. I was just hoping they would win for that reason.
I think for a lot of the casual fans in this city, Friday night's display by the Nationals endeared them to Montrealers. Yeah. It was like, oh yeah, Expos never would have closed out that game. Yeah. I never had that feeling. I was always the guy that thought that the 6-0 lead was safe.
I never made that comparison. I never thought that, oh, just like the Expos, they blew it. Well, now they know how we feel. I never, ever, ever thought that. Not for one second. I just said, yeah, that's baseball, kid. That's how it works.
But unfortunately, you screwed yourself because you didn't put yourself in a situation that you could possibly win. Because you had the guns, but you put your gun in your belt, and you decided to not put any bullets in the gun. And you said, no, well, that's it. We'll try it out like this. Guys, that's not baseball. You do it. I'm not, as a fan myself, saying to find that out afterwards, or actually to know all year, season long, that you can't work this guy's out for 18 innings that he didn't pitch. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but Chef, that's a philosophical argument. I mean, that's a philosophical argument thinking about karma. I mean,
no. Also,
maybe
look at Strasburg's stats in the last month of the season. I think it's an unfair assumption to cast.
Should they have thrown a fastball instead of a slider? I mean, it comes down to the most minute detail. That's what the greatest thing about baseball is.
What that game came down to was Molina holding off on a 2-2 slider.
Exactly.
That just went outside.
That's right.
And I don't know how he kept that bat on his shoulder, but he did.
And circumstantial.
The next pitch was outside. He walks. Descalso gets the hit off the glove. Cosma gets the hit. It was
baseball.
It was wonderful.
It was baseball.
Chef, thanks so much for the call, man.
One more thing, guys.
Yeah, sure.
If you don't mind, knowing what baseball is right now, isn't it time for instant replay?
Yeah, it's coming.
seeing what we saw last night with the Yankees, it was ridiculous.
Bill Shaken, who is the head of the Baseball Writers Association of America, we had him on the show last year. He writes for the LA Times. He interviewed Bud Selig this week, and Selig said that they are putting more cameras into all of the stadiums so that there is a uniformity to the cameras, that they can hit every angle, and there will be more replay in baseball starting next season.
Well, yay Bud Selig.
That's right. Saint Bud of Milwaukee, the guy, the patron saint of baseball.
How about robot umpires?
He's going to make me Catholic.
Bud the Spud. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chef. Have a great night.
You too.
Let's go to Jerry in Snowden. Hello, Jerry.
Guys, I was kind of disappointed that the Nationals lost because...
Because you spent some time in Washington, right?
That's right.
I remember you from a couple of weeks ago. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. Because when they went to Washington, to me, it was like the Expos. You know, people asked me their name, and I said, they're my Expos. They just moved.
I know what you're saying, but, you know, most of us didn't have the luxury of living in the district.
Yeah, I know.
So you're in a very unique position there, my friend.
Yep, that's true.
So you got to feel that hurt.
Yep.
On Friday night. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that.
Yep.
But you know what? You've got next year.
Yep, that's true. Let's hope that there will be, because you never know. I was disappointed they didn't play Strasburg.
Yeah.
But I thought that you never know. You know, you never know when you're going to make it. You never know. Look, the Habs haven't won in 20 years.
Agreed. Gio Gonzalez won 21 games for them this season. He was a wonderful pitcher.
Try being a Chicago Cubs fan.
Yes, I know. I have good friends who are Chicago Cubs fans. And they've given up.
Yeah, I think that's what you get to. You get to a certain point where you
They're probably
up.
Sitting there screaming, saying, where is Strasburg? You got to do everything. And I agree with the chef on that. You do have to do everything, but it's not necessarily the exact cause of the loss.
One more call, and then we'll take a break. Thanks for the call, Jerry. Let's go to Travis in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello, Travis.
Hello, Jay. Hello, Dave.
How are you?
Man, I got to tell you, I do feel a little bit bad about having enjoyed that epic meltdown.
Oh, my God. What is my show turning into tonight? This is hilarious, eh?
It's a kick 'em when they down edition of the Kaufman Show.
The sour grapes version of the show.
That's okay.
And now we're at 77. But, man, I did enjoy it. I know it's bad, but I did. So I don't know what to tell you.
Feel free to expound upon it. You sound like you're about to cry. I mean...
No, it's just, one, you got to love the Cardinals because they're an amazing team, and they have been, and they never lose.
I don't get people that don't like the Cardinals. I don't understand what that franchise has done over the last 70 years for anybody to find fault with. You know, I mean, they have some of the greatest players of all time. The uniform is classic. The city loves the team. And I think they made the right call having the Browns leave and the Cardinals stay, frankly.
They are baseball, I think.
They are baseball. They're baseball in the Midwest, for sure.
And they are the biggest epitome of how the National League is better than the American League.
I'll agree with
that. That's a whole other story.
I'll agree with that. And one of the great tragedies that we're going to see in the next year or two is the disappearance of the designated hitter from the National League.
Yeah.
And that will change baseball. And it's really unfortunate. Things like tonight, seeing Carpenter hit that double. And knowing that Carpenter in four at-bats has more hits in the playoffs this year than Cano or A-Rod, that's gone.
The other pitcher hit a double, too.
Yeah, I know.
And I gotta tell you, though, what really got me this postseason, I know that teams have different standards. You know, Yankees fans are going to leave the stadium when they're losing in the ALCS. But, man, does that make you bitter to look at.
When it's empty stadium?
You guys can't sit down. Yeah, you guys can't sit down. Watch the last 15 minutes. You have a team, dude, you know?
They weren't showing up at the start. The Yankees didn't sell out.
Yeah, well,
only one reason for it.
Well, there's the traffic as well, because the game started was at 5 o'clock Eastern.
No, but they were still 5,000 seats short of a sellout.
Yeah.
And to me, that screams one thing. Price.
Yeah, too expensive.
There are 25 million people within driving distance, at the short driving distance of that stadium. I mean, like, let's say within 100 miles, you could easily hit 20 million.
Screw it, when you can watch it at home in HD and get a much better view.
And not pay $1,700 for your ticket.
Ridiculous.
To watch the Yankees scrape and claw and barely get a hit and wait for Raul Ibanez and his $1.5 million salary, he would be low paid on the Pittsburgh Pirates, people.
A-Rod on the bench, Jeter hurt. Who wants to watch that?
We'll get into the end of the Yankee mystique next week once they're eliminated. But
my Dave with the call.
No, it's true. There are a lot of, well, look, let's see the Yankees come back and win four out of the next five games
it's
with
baseball.
Two of them against Justin Verlander. I'd like to look, anything is possible. You cannot predict baseball, as my favorite Twitter account says.
Ichiro got a home run.
Ichiro, I think if Ichiro wanted, could hit a home run just about whenever he wanted in Yankees.
He's getting a lot of power on the ball, I've noticed, in the playoffs. He's really hitting him deep. He's going for the, you know, he's...
Well, also, right field, the right field porch is, you know, it's Fenway's left field-esque without the wall. It's what enabled Roger Maris to hit all those home runs. I think it was built for A-Rod and... He's not accommodating them.
No, he's not. It's too late in the season for that. He's tired.
Travis, thanks for the call, man.
Thanks for having Dave Zion on, man.
Hey,
rocks.
I'll tell you what. We by far my favorite guest. By far my favorite guest. The guy brings it every time we have him on, and we are very fortunate that that he joins us almost on a monthly basis. Thanks, Travis. Have a good night. Oh, nicely done there, Jimmy. I like it. That was
fade
really
in,
cool.
Cheers,
yeah.
Fade out.
That was really good. I wonder what he said in between the cheers. Let's go out on this. From Bon Appetit, the demos for Fully Completely. This is the Kaufman Show. We'll be back.
Hi, my name's Paul Langlois. I play with the Tragically Hip, and you're listening to The Kaufman Show.
She's gone away and in her own.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. Just searching through the Twitterverse here, and old Big Zed. This is Canada, right? It's not Big Z, it's Big Zed.
Yeah.
Big Zed 316. I wonder if that's a John 316 reference. Trying to listen to your show in bed and music clip woke up my wife. Please raise your volume when talking or even sound out.
You want us to speak louder?
Is that what you're trying to say? I don't understand. But
wake up, wife.
Hello, Mrs. Z.
Wake up.
You know, when I used to listen to the radio in bed.
yes.
I would do it with headphones on to not bother anybody.
Right.
I felt like that was the right way to go about it.
Well, maybe his headphones are like ours in studio right now. not exactly working.
Well, I'm happy you're enjoying the show, Big Z.
Big Zed.
Big Zed. Big Z.
And Mrs. Zed.
Mrs. Zed.
Sorry to wake you, yeah. Ma'am.
Sorry. We apologize.
Or sir, whatever. I mean, we don't judge here.
Coming up in a few minutes' time, we've got
sorry,
Professor Abby Goldberg from Vanier College. Wow, you got me good there, Jay. We're going to talk about Chris Bartsch and a few other things. We had the professor on the show a couple of months ago, and it was informative, witty, all the things we like.
You inform my wit.
There, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, there's something that's been eating at me. I want to talk about it for a couple of minutes, if we can get to it. The Montreal Gazette continues to shrink in front of our very eyes. And the sports section has been, I don't know, cut in half at least, less. I mean, it's hardly its own section anymore. It's usually tucked into the back of the front section. How can time and space in that newspaper be wasted on a fake game story based on a video game? If you have 24 hours of content on a radio station to fill, I can understand 30 seconds joking around about an EA whatever mashup of this is what was supposed to happen. But for a full half page in the paper to have a game story of a game that didn't happen and quotes that are attributed to players that are made up. And I mean, from the headline on out, Gomez scores and Habs win 3-1. Are people so desperate for hockey coverage that we can make it up and give it to you? That's an actual question. I want the answer to that. I want to hear from people that are dying to wake up, read the paper, and hear what happened when somebody played EA Sports NHL 13. Which is a fine game, by the way, and I totally encourage you to go out and purchase it and play for yourself. And hey, man, Arkells are on the soundtrack, buddies of ours.
Yeah.
Who got some good news themselves this week. They will be opening for the Tragically Hip on their cross-country Canadian winter arena tour. I'll be even more excited about it when they add a Montreal date. But I'm dead serious about this, Jay. This infuriates me. Because there's enough going on in the world of sports that you don't need a game recap from a fake game.
Yeah, we've got Major League playoffs, and we've got the NFL going strong, and the NBA. There's Lance Armstrong and Christine Sinclair. There's the World Cup qualifiers going on.
There's local sports.
There's local sports.
You know, there's a massive scandal at Concordia University right now.
Yeah.
And one of their players was deemed ineligible.
Right.
And that vacated all of their wins from the season. So they won this weekend. They beat McGill this weekend. They're now 1-6.
Perhaps it's
a story. That's something I would like to read more
Perhaps
about.
It's a misconception about how much the fans really want hockey back, or maybe it's not. I understand that it's satire and it's supposed to be funny, even though every single media outlet local here in Montreal has done the same thing. Everybody had a fake report about the game, and I know everybody was doing it, and it was kind of tiresome after a while. I get it. I understand it. But you know what? If this says that people are that desperate for hockey that they'll actually read up on a fake EA Sports made-up computerized thing with fake quotes from, well, then we're in trouble, people.
Right.
We're in big, big trouble.
Right, and not to mention that
because the owners have won now. The owners have won.
You think?
Because they're not listening to you. Because they're like, look, half the sports page is about a made-up article, something that is completely false, and people are still eating it up. We're in no trouble at all. We'll take the whole year off. Screw the people.
Unbelievable. It's so infuriating to me, Jay. But, again, Is this what you want, ladies and gentlemen? Is this what you're reaching for the newspapers to read? Is this what you're turning on your radios to hear? Because if you want us to make stuff up, we will make stuff up. I will win you the goddamn Stanley Cup next Monday if you want. But it feels very disingenuous.
Listen,
and you can kind of toss journalism out the window at that point.
It's tongue-in-cheek. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's that serious. It's
you want a toe, Jay? I'll bring you a toe by Tuesday.
It's tongue-in-cheek. It's supposed to be satire. It's supposed to be funny. Even though, like I said, every single local media outlet did exactly the same thing about,
right.
You know, in their own opinion. Some had the Senators winning. Everybody had Gomez scoring, though.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, because, you know, I
you
mean.
Know, you want to do something cool?
It's originality.
The Twitter account that, who the hell started it? I don't even know who started it, but that 94 Expos Redux Twitter account.
Yeah.
That everybody and their mom followed until August 12th when the baseball strike ended. People live vicariously through that. Somebody wants to go out and do something fun right now? Retweet, live tweet the 92-93 season. We all know how it ends. It ends very, very well. You'll have a job until the first week of June. And that would be more exciting to me, to go back and relive the glories of 20 years ago and hear that Patrick Roy did this or that Andre Rassico didn't do that. Don't tell me that Scott Gomez scored a goal in the opening night.
If you do,
yeah. Then I will win you the Stanley Cup next Monday.
We will
have the fakest Kauffman show ever.
That's right. If you're living vicariously through an improbable or impossible or an untrue scenario, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
You've got a problem. There's a lot of other things going on in the world, people. But again, I think it was just the article was supposed to be just funny, which it wasn't.
514.
Nor original.
No.
No,
that's
the unfortunate part, that everybody else was
But
doing.
I don't see how you make it funny.
Tongue-in-cheek. It's supposed to be, yeah, you know.
I'm not finding the humor. I just don't get it.
I understand the idea.
I could see how to some people it would be a tease. I could see how maybe to kids or something there would be an appeal.
Yeah.
But newspapers aren't the successful model of the journalism industry because they're marketing to children.
No, but it's supposed to be satirical, I think.
514-790-1690. This is the Kauffman Show. I'm Dave. That's Jay. And let's go to the phones. We've got Mike in St. Leonard. Hello, sir. Hey, Mike.
How are you this evening?
Very good. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Good. I had to call when you mentioned the story in the Gazette. I just saw that today.
Oh, was there another one today? I missed that.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of it today as well.
How did the Habs do this weekend?
I didn't pay any attention. It's ridiculous. Actually, you know what? When Mitch went to Bartlett on Friday for a live little update of a recap of the game,
uh-huh.
I tweeted Mitch with the first headline was WTF, and I said, really? This is what it's come to? We have baseball like we haven't seen in years. We have football, and we have to go to a made-up NHL game, and you're actually going to get your guy to report on it. And
it was actually a good report by Bartley. It was actually very impressive. At least it was impressive, and it was original, and it sounded real.
Okay, yeah. I missed
and
that.
And it was only about 2 minutes long.
When I started picking on this, I didn't realize that our station had done it as well.
Well,
but
it's not only your station. I saw it on TSN this evening. I think it's OTR is actually showing clips from the game with highlights from the animated.
And to be fair, ESPN is doing that as well. And I think that ESPN
that's what I said. Everybody's doing it.
ESPN is giving EA Sports NHL 13 more coverage than it would give the NHL 2013 season.
It bothered me on a level, man, you can't even believe. I mean, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I'm happy I brought it up then, because it's good to know that people can relate to how I feel.
That's one thing. The other thing is Washington. Dang,
yeah.
Stop it. This
stop what?
Don't be upset. I was like, you know, the one thing Pierre McGuire always says, manage expectations.
Yeah.
This is this guy's first rodeo. You can't expect to go and beat the Cardinals.
Wait, how am I upset?
Well, you know what?
I was upset.
He was upset that they were winning.
I was upset when it was 6-0 Washington.
I don't understand. And listen, Dave Zirin, I love this guy to death.
You he's
know
the
that.
Best.
As soon as he's on your show, I have him on Twitter. I love him. But don't be upset. This is your first rodeo.
Oh, you're talking about Dave. Okay, now I understand.
This is the big leagues, man. You just can't go and beat the Cardinals like that.
That's right. It's baseball.
That's right. These guys pull guys out of nowhere and will beat you. These are World Series champions. And
yep.
Then if you beat them, you'd have to play San Fran, who are going to pull off something.
They are earning their stripes.
That's exactly it. They're crying and upset. Relax. You have a good young team. I had no real opinion of these guys actually going all the way. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I mean, a lot of it's mojo. It's
It'll happen eventually.
Yeah, maybe it will, maybe it won't. Maybe you'll get, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years you're going to take your beats. I mean, it just didn't happen like that. So I was kind of surprised at their reaction. I know they're disappointed, but I was like, whoa, manage your expectations.
I'll tell you what the real punch in the gut was, though, Mike. It was that at 7:30 the next morning, Washington Nationals season ticket holders woke up to an email blast telling them that World Series tickets were going on sale the next day.
That's awesome.
Isn't that just the nastiest thing ever?
No, I enjoyed that. That's good stuff. That, you know, I have nothing to say about Washington. I'm like, good for you. You have your team. Happy for you. But, you know, you take your lumps like we took our lumps. And that's the way it goes, you know?
Schadenfreude is a way better trait than sour grapes. So
yeah.
I'm going to keep calling it Schadenfreude and not sour grapes.
The other thing is, I don't know if you got to see that vice president debate. I just want to say congratulations to Joe Biden.
Yeah, but you know what? If this was Rush Limbaugh's radio show, they'd be congratulating Paul Ryan right now, because the way that things work in the States is that the left only sees things from the left's point of view and the right sees things from the right's. So everybody on our side, if you will, because, you know, let's call a spade, we're on one side of this debate. Thinks that Biden. Okay, my Republican co-host over here.
No, I'm not on that side either.
Jay, you are hiding.
Jay's on Martha Raddatz's side. He's sitting at the moderator's
on my own side.
Anyways, all to be said that people on the left thought that Biden totally outclassed Ryan, and people on the right thought that Biden embarrassed himself to the level that Ryan won the debate by default.
Biden is awesome. They need to bring him out more.
He's the best.
It's so entertaining.
He's like Bulworth.
Yeah.
He's that politician that calls, when he sees something he doesn't like, he calls it malarkey.
That's right.
And I'm pretty sure that he would have called it BS if it wasn't
malarkey.
A debate.
That's right, exactly.
It was wonderful.
You know, we need to have the debate on HBO so we can actually see him swear.
To have the debate on HBO so Will McAvoy can be the moderator and actually call these people on their stuff. Awesome. And the thing is now, Martha Raddatz did such a wonderful job moderating the VP debates and actually calling these guys out and asking follow-up questions.
Yeah.
That we finally have reached consensus between the two parties, Mike. The Republicans and the Democrats have both agreed that Candy Crowley cannot do the same thing to their candidates at the debate this week.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. They want to be very sure that it's a town hall debate. She asks the opening question, but she doesn't make either of them actually have to give answers the way that Martha Raddatz did.
Well, I guess you'll have to return back her mechanical prosthesis.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Neither do I, but it was funny.
Mike, I'm going to have to go Google that during the break, and I'll laugh about it next week. Thanks so much for your time, man.
Good evening, guys.
All right. One more call before we get to our guest. Let's go to Mike in NDG. Good evening, Mike.
Well, we've got 4 more years, hopefully, of Barack Obama, but I'm kind of putting my hopes on Hillary. I know not a lot of people agree with me on that, but...
You mean for 2016?
For 2016, yeah.
Okay.
Barack Obama's... I don't live in the States, but I'm a stout Democrat, and I think he's coming across a little too arrogant for my blood. I think he's kind of been there, done that now, and he's too cool for school, and he should be a little more humble in his ways.
We'll see how he handles the next debate. I think that's the big test.
The thing. He does have to come out a little more strong, but...
Yes, just a little.
A lot more strong, but he's got to seem a little more interested, confident. He just didn't seem like he had it all together the last time, but that's not the reason that I'm calling. I want to congratulate you guys for calling out the people in the city, the journalists in the city, and I'm going to say, pardon me for saying this, I'm sorry, but TSN, for going on and on about the hockey. If there's no hockey to talk about, don't talk about hockey. Don't make up games as you go along. It's just boring. It's stale radio, and it goes absolutely nowhere. When the lockout ends, when the two sides agree, then we can move on and discuss something. But when I'm sorry, the station, or I watch TV and I hear about hockey games that are being made, or the KHL. I really don't give a.
Well, Mike, I'll tell you, and I'm more than willing to have a debate about this with you right now. I agree with you up to a point. I'm on your side up to a point. The problem is that the majority of people listen to the station for information on hockey. This station spent a lot of money to get the rights for the Montreal Canadiens. This is, it could be argued that there wouldn't be a TSN 690 if not for the Montreal Canadiens, that the station would have gone out of business a long time ago, that advertisers advertise because of it, that it's, you know, not if I had my choice in this world, but the Montreal Canadiens run this town. They do. They're the most important thing in this town. They run. I mean, so much of what goes on, and very different than 20 years ago. It's become a massive, I said it's very different than it was 20 years ago. It's become a massive marketing machine. And that has changed it. It's not just a sport anymore, but it's all these things that enable a 24-hour sports news station to succeed. Now, do I think that time should be spent making stuff up? Absolutely not.
There's a difference between information and entertainment.
But I mean, we sat here tonight and
entertaining, though.
Well, again, and that's in the eye of the beholder, right? And we called that out tonight. I don't find it entertaining either. And because of that, we're not going to do it. And the fact is we talked about it, and then we had five calls, and everybody said how ridiculous it was. And I'm really happy because I kind of played a little chicken on air just now and said, if you guys want, I'll bring you the Stanley Cup next week.
Okay.
Now I don't have to break into the Hall of Fame and bring the Stanley Cup next week, so we're good.
No, true. But I'm just thinking about the NFL, which, in my opinion, is 100% the only league that really matters. At least
you think that the NFL is the only league that really matters.
Well, the only league that really catches my attention. The NHL is fine. You've got a whole lot of really bad hockey teams, and then you've got the few hockey teams that you see at the top all the time, and then you've got the CFL, which. No offense to Alouettes fans out there, I don't really pay attention to anymore because there's only three great teams. And then you've got basketball and you've got the MLB, which is kicking serious ass right now. It's all a question of judgment, but I just
think... But you just said that for you, the be-all and end-all is NFL football.
Yeah.
So, for example, you're somebody that I would imagine gets really excited about the fact that once a week you know that on Monday nights you can turn on TSN 690 and hear a football game.
Yes.
I don't know if most people feel that way. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But for most people that turn on this station, it's to hear hockey.
I don't mind hearing people critique the Canadians, but to make up things and reading articles about the Canadians, and even the Gazette has me annoyed now. I just read Todd's article, and I just, okay, move on. You have a life. There's other things to do in the city. This city is vibrant. There's
damn
thousands
straight.
Of things to do.
Good. So, Mike, what are you doing? What are you doing to occupy from the NHL not being there?
Well, personally, I go to the movies or I go to theater or I do some. I actually go running. I go visit friends that I haven't seen in a long time. I don't know. Something.
Sounds like
something.
You're living your life.
Yeah, exactly. Good for you.
Anyway.
Thanks for the call, man.
All right.
Have a good night. Now, before we go to our next caller, we actually have some theme music. Look at that. And by caller, I mean guest. If for some reason I'm not present, blame it on my adolescence. And if for some reason I am tardy, it's because I went out last night to party. Little Joel Plaskett bringing in Professor Avi Goldberg from Vanier College. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Good evening. How are you doing?
Good evening. Thanks for staying up late to talk to us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm not used to being up so late, I have to say, but I'm quite enjoying it. What can I tell you?
How does, as somebody who listens to the show on podcast frequently, how does listening to it live Does it make a little more sense?
Well, it does make sense.
The timelines figure out, right? Because I think about that every time I say, oh, coming up in an hour's time on the podcast, it's probably like 37 minutes, you know?
True enough. Yeah, no, the timelines work. You guys might prefer to be doing the earlier in the evening thing, but I kind of like this. It's dark right now, you know, it's quiet, it's interesting.
Us a microphone. We don't care what time it is.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So you wrote, you're a guest columnist on All Habs, right?
I would say I don't really know what I am. I try to do some writing. I try to find some people who will publish it. And as of now, I'm very happy that they are happily accepting what I'm writing at All Habs. Yeah, so sure, I'm a guest columnist.
Now, as a sociology professor, you try to look at things from a bit of a different angle, something that I think that we and our audience can definitely appreciate. Now, you delved into this Chris Bartsch situation.
I did.
Can you tell our audience a little bit about it?
Sure. I mean, it was kind of interesting because it happened like a couple of weeks ago, I guess, or maybe 3 weeks now on a Saturday night. And I was up late, not sleeping, looking through the Twitter feed. I happened to see all these people referring to what Bartsch had tweeted out. Went to check it out immediately, and I thought, wow, that's pretty deep. So the basic thing was, he wrote a lot about his anger, about how the owners were dealing with the lockout situation. He raised a lot of issues about how it's going to be particularly difficult for him as a player. He made a lot of references to, I would say to his personal situation, talks about having two kids, another one on the way. He did make some interesting references as well to, it's being in the drink a little bit while he was writing. Made some interesting comparisons between, not totally clear, I think, if he was comparing all hockey players to blue-collar workers or if he was particularly comparing kind of the tougher fourth-line guys to blue-collar workers. But I found it to be an interesting tour de force, several tweets. I don't even know how many it was. Curious to see how people were going to respond to it. And wasn't so surprised, basically, that from what I saw in terms of the media, it was most people just kind of saying that, Chris Bartsch shouldn't be speaking out so openly about this. He shouldn't be asking the fans to feel too sorry for him because he's a guy who's making, close to $1 million a year. So how could he expect the how could we expect the average guy to feel sorry for a guy like this who's complaining about these millionaire or billionaire owners rather when he himself is doing pretty well? I thought that was a totally valid point, but I also felt that the entire sort of content of what he was tweeting. It suggested a few other important themes, and basically I put together a little piece that offered, I think, three different points that I thought were not mostly discussed by the media that covered the Bartsch tweets after they happened.
Well, go ahead. Let's discuss those points then.
Sure. I mean, I went through about three different things. I think the most obvious one just had to do with the fact that, he did decide to speak out. That sort of raised the issue about whether there is actually discipline and solidarity among the players. That's one thing, of course, that people are talking about right now. But the fact that he spoke out, he said quite a bit about it. It was kind of in a semi, I guess, unconventional manner. It kind of led me to wonder about whether this was an indication of whether there are other players who are not, the superstar players who are not making, the biggest dollars. If perhaps as they would be feeling the crunch of not being paid, if perhaps that would put pressure on them maybe to speak out, whether or not the union and Donald Fehr had a, kind of a difficult time ahead of them to try to make sure that they would maintain that solidarity. The second issue, though, had to do more with the whole idea of Chris Bartsch as an enforcer, as a tough guy. I kind of made the argument that, I think that Bartsch was definitely trying to show that, all the players are in a difficult situation. But I think that what I would interpret what he was doing is also kind of showing that, fourth line guys have a particular vulnerability in terms of their position in the league. I would say that fighting and fighters, that it's not as clear anymore if they're going to stay in the game. There are voices that perhaps this is a position that should, fade from the NHL landscape. There have been a lot of reports about, the particular difficulties that some fighters have in terms of their health issues with the repeated blows to the head and so on and so forth. And there's also reports of, extra stress and extra pressure that they face because their careers are particularly short and they're particularly vulnerable to a shorter career. So I also sort of interpreted part of what he was saying to be, you know, he's not only complaining about or talking about just the lockout and whether there will be a lockout resolution, but I kind of almost viewed it as a call out for help for somebody who's particularly an enforcer and has particular questions about, you know, his own future career. The third and final point just had to do with the whole idea of the use of new media, whether, you know, the new media and Twitter and social media would in fact be leading for new ways for fans to kind of, you know, rally around the cause and maybe put pressure on the NHL to try to get them to, you know, to listen to their concerns. You know, there's been some report about whether the NHL is losing the social media war or who's winning, who's losing. I basically made some arguments that said that, you know, as of this point, my interpretation is that, yes, social media is allowing people like Chris Bartsch and other fans to say quite a bit. But I basically said that anger is not enough to really translate into any type of movement. Your conversation with Zyron, you know, from earlier on was so great. Because I guess one of the subtexts of it is that, you know, while it's very easy to point out a lot of things that we can be pissed off about, a lot of things that we can critique about the way, you know, the NHL and the other sports operate just as another capitalist business, it's a whole other question to see whether new media or anything else would actually lead for fans to, you know, to get out of their seats, to actually, you know, exert any leverage that they would have and to actually force change. So I use this also as an opportunity to discuss the use of new media and social media in relation to this labor dispute. And sadly, for now, I came to the conclusion that while it is offering people the opportunity to vent, it's not really leading to any, you know, groundswell of action by fans actually exerting leverage on the league to sort of get their voices heard and to actually effect change in any way.
Have we ever seen an example of a league's fan base mobilizing en masse like that to make a change? I can't think of anything.
Yeah, I mean, it raises a fantastic question, you know, and I don't know the answer to that.
I think it all comes down to the fact that at the end of the day, so many people just want it back, no questions asked. That even if you said to the average fan, in 7 years you're going to have to go through all of this all over again, they'd be like, yeah, I'll take it. Just give me my hockey right now. And
yeah,
it's this very myopic view, but it exists, man. It's out there.
Well, I think one thing that I was thinking about just over the last few days is that, you know, I think that basically the fans are not really the ones who have the kind of ideological stake in all of this. The ones who get involved and who I am a fan. You know, I actually consider myself and my writing and my analysis to actually be pro fan, but. But there is a side to it that says that, you know, if we are going to be loyal fans, to some extent we are putting aside our kind of ideological concern. We are waiting, as you said, for basically just, you know, for the games to return. We'll be patient while it's gone, and then we will return.
But there's something inherently wrong with that. There's something inherently wrong with that.
Well, why would you say it's inherently wrong?
Really?
Because the power of non-complacency and complacency can really, really make an effect on the owners, especially. That's what they don't realize.
Yeah.
And I think they're actually trying. They're actually realizing that right now. They're starting to see a lot of bad feedback from the fans. They're starting to see a lot of people say, "Well, screw it. If they come back, forget about it. We'll start throwing dollar bills on the ice like they did back in 1995 in Major League Baseball."
Homer, you dialed already.
On my end or your end?
I'm pretty sure that's on. Is it our end? No, that's you. Jimmy says it's you.
Professor.
It's gotta be you. Yeah.
Was it something I said?
How's that for live radio?
Yeah. I got him so mad he turned it to R2-D2.
Exactly.
Oh.
You know what, Marge? I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'm going back into space.
What was I saying?
I'm trying to just kill some time, figure out what to say in response to what you just said.
You were talking about complacency.
Yeah, it's about complacency, and I think the fans do have the real power here.
But
I think that I would say that, like, I think that it seems like, you know, if you're reading the reports right now, and if, you know, this whole thing about hiring the media guru and all this stuff, and the focus groups that are supposedly going.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about. This focus group stuff is something obviously that somebody leaked because, they saw the hypocrisy. Okay. Okay.
All two.
I'm going to take a deep breath.
There goes my appearance.
I think he's doing it on purpose whenever we're trying to bring up a point.
Once again, Homer, you dialed already. Yeah, that's it, eh? We let him talk. He gives his whole spiel about his article.
Yeah, he's like Flintstones. Meet the Flintstones. I'm not listening.
Soon as it's our turn to add our 2 cents, it's boop, bop, beep, bop, boop, bop, boop. Where are
that's
you calling?
That's why he's a professor.
Are you calling Pakistan or something? Like, how many numbers was that?
Actually, we've been having trouble with the internet around here, and I've been just trying to reach India to try to get it resolved.
Well,
maybe
next,
that's
there it
next
is.
Next time we'll call you, and we'll call you on your cell phone.
Maybe it's a good idea, yeah.
Wow, well, that threw me completely off.
You were saying something about...
Oh, for Christ's sakes! That's Abby Goldberg, Professor of Sociology at Vanier College. Professor Goldberg, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Do you want me to give you a call in the cell?
No, I think that we're about to hit a news break, actually.
Okay.
But unless you have one final brilliant
we could take
point.
This up another time, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'd be happy to pick it up. I'm really sorry. I don't really know what was going on. I really wasn't trying to cut you guys off. I don't really have a brilliant point to say. I would add one thing to Zyron's comments. I would take a small issue with his earlier point, which I think is somehow relevant. Zyron was complaining with the fact that, you know, somehow the politics gets in the way of sports as culture. However, I would argue that we can't separate culture from politics. And that would be something that could be elaborated upon in the future, for sure.
I think that's a very good point. Professor Goldberg, I think you did that one on purpose.
One last one. Screw you, Dave. One for you.
You know what? Forget this Professor Goldberg courtesy. Abby, thanks for calling, bud. We'll speak soon. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
It's like that time the Jimmy Riggers used the Arnold Schwarzenegger soundboard on me. Let's turn on some hip. Turn it
up. Give me your mother, please.
This is the Kaufman Show, where things usually work according to plan.
Amazing about prices of things, like for instance rents at that time in New York were as high as they are, well I won't say that they are quite as high as they are now, but they are comparable to modern rents. The prices of things were surprisingly modern, you know, clothes and so forth. And I looked and found articles about people buying tickets outside the stadium and they were paying more than $200. So I decided nobody will believe, you know, it was more. So we settled on that number, and it does sound exorbitant, but also I think you'll find around that section he's paying thousands for an apartment, and people have said, that can't be possible back then. But it's true. Prices run in cycles along with history.
And the game was almost done. Then God gave John a vision, and he knew we'd already won. Yes, you know, life is a ball game. Being
function everybody can play. Yes, you know Jesus is standing at the home plate. He's waiting for you there. Well, you know life is a ball game, but you've got to play it fair.
I'm J.R. Moehringer, and you're listening to The Kaufman Show.
And we are back. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar here with you for an indeterminate period of time, which is good because you're probably listening to this on the podcast right now at thekaufmanshow.podbean.com, which means we aren't live. We've already cut out all of the parts that we don't like of this show because we know, you know, we do that, right?
We cheat.
We do. We cheat. We lie. We're like Proskauer Rose, basically. We are the Proskauer Rose of the Montreal radio industry. Gentlemen, to evil.
New World Order.
I'd like to thank Professor Avi Goldberg for joining us on the program tonight. It was, you know what, Jay? It was fantastic. We're going to have to teach him how to work a telephone, but it was, the dude is smart. It's just, you know how that works, right? Like, you know, you're so good at some things that there's other things that you just, we'll teach him.
My brother.
Your brother?
My brother.
What do you mean? He can't use a phone?
He'll write some brilliant songs, but he'll still put the salt in the freezer.
The salt in the... That's what?
Literally. Literally.
Put the sugar in the freezer? What?
No, that's what he would do. He's so far gone that, you know, in the words of Yoda, never is his mind on where he is or what he is doing. So, yeah.
He needs a checklist like they ran through with Felix Baumgartner yesterday?
Yeah. I once saw my brother... At least there was a plant right in the middle of the hallway at our house, and he went around it about six or seven times saying, "What the hell is this plant doing in the middle of the hallway?" without thinking of moving it to the side. So that's my brother.
That is the shout out to Mr. Anakin Slade. Anakin, come home, and I will give you your Gary Carter jersey back.
Give it to me.
Why?
I don't know. I don't want to wear it.
Well, as long as
wash it, though.
I want it in writing first. I'm not getting in any trouble for anything.
You want
that
me
happens.
To sign something?
Yeah, seriously.
A release form?
It's going to be like when you rent a car, okay? When they walk around the car and they show you the dings and scratches that are already on it. Mm-hmm. I want to show you and make a record so that no stains are blamed on me.
Yeah.
This is very important stuff, Jay.
Yeah.
I'm on his good side still.
Okay.
I want to stay there.
Okay.
Okay. We're wrapping up here on The Kaufman Show. It's been a very interesting night. Covered a lot of ground, a lot of places that I wanted to go tonight, and not often that I have a checklist written in front of me, but well, would you believe we've hit most of it? I still want to talk about this space jump. I thought that just was so crazy, man. And in fact, I missed it. I saw most of the ascent and then had to. I was forced to go and speak at this panel yesterday. It was so cool of you to show up. It was also really cool of Kaufman Show legal analyst Dan Gradinsky to be there. Our friend Guy Ormiston from Via Rail came to see it. Dwight Baird, famous Montreal baseball artist, was there too. See, not just Jews. Jay Farrar. Well, kind of an honorary one.
Yes. Yes.
I want to thank Jonah Carey for inviting me to be a part of his Kibitzing on Sports panel, along with Mitch Melnick and Bill Brownstein.
Yes.
Great to meet Bill Brownstein.
Yes.
I mean, I'd say put a face to the name, but I've seen the picture in the Gazette for the last 25 years.
You guys kibitzed.
We did. We kibitzed on
you
a kibitz.
Kibitzed.
Exactly.
And wish it was longer, but maybe next time.
I wished it was, it was only about 40 minutes. There were some technical glitches off the top.
But yeah.
It was, I'll tell you what, man.
It was enjoyed by Jews and Gentiles alike.
That's right. Well, that's the goal. Like every Kaufman show, right?
That's right.
We don't just paint for one.
Well, you're constantly surrounded by Greeks, so I just wanted to see how it was the other way around.
Yeah, and you know, within 5 minutes, I'm making a joke about bringing bacon. Like, it's just falling flat on my face.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes. It's hard to be a secular Jew in the city.
It was good stuff. It was interesting and a very impressive panel, including yourself, Mr. Kaufman.
It was an honor to be a part of it and a huge thrill to sit there and talk sports with three guys that I really admire.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. And it was at this wonderful building called Espace Réunion, which, you know, for most of our audience, they'll probably think it's as far out as the Olympic Stadium. But
no, but its predecessor. It's about as far out as its predecessor
it's
was.
It's Jerry Park-esque, absolutely. Yeah. It's Hutchison and Beaubien.
It's a nice little hidden treasure there on that side of town.
It is also the location for the Kids for Kids benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we had your brother and, oh my goodness, Colleen Gainey.
Right.
Come into studio and speak with us about it. And I remember getting into a lot of trouble for a comment that I didn't make about Bob Gainey that was... You remember Colleen getting mad at me?
Oh, yes.
She thought I said something about her dad's general managerial abilities and expertise. And
don't do that. Colleen's a feisty one. She'll put you in your place.
Well, hopefully Colleen will be back with us. I'm not sure. I don't think she's in Montreal right now. But if she's back for the event, then she'll definitely come in and talk to us about it. It's going to be on the 23rd of November. Only 1,000 tickets are for sale. All of the money is going to the Sarah Cook Fund. Kids for Kids is a Montreal legend. It's a wonderful party, and I'm very honored that Adrienne Hindle, the chair of Kids for Kids, asked me to be on the committee this year. She approached me after the Gary Carter benefit in May and asked me if I'd like to take part. And here we are. The ball is now rolling. Tickets are on sale. It's $50 to come to the event, which I think is at 10 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night. And if you want to spend an extra $100, there's hors d'oeuvres and champagne cocktail and all the rest of that stuff served up by the fine people at Bice. No one? Nothing? Bice?
Bice?
Yeah.
Mm.
Biche.
Oh. Biche.
Biche. On Sherbrooke Street. It's spelled Bice. Come on.
Bice.
Bice. Hey, let's go to Bice and have some dinner.
Let's go, you son of a biche.
Bice. It's nice.
Nice.
So it's a wonderful time, and I will be there, and I know that if Jay wasn't working that night, he would be there too.
Yes, I would.
And
I know where it is now.
There you go. It's at 6600 Hutchison on November the 23rd. I believe that's a Friday night, and we'll continue talking about it on the station and all the wonderful things that the Sarah Cook Fund does to benefit people with cancer in the city, especially kids. And that's it. It's Kids for Kids. So nothing
says. Pretty self-explanatory.
It's pretty self-explanatory. Lots of the booze flows at these things.
Do they?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You should see.
Wow.
And
wish I could.
And you know, Montreal girls showing up to these. Women.
Right.
Women.
Well, yeah.
When they're that pretty, you call them women.
It's the best place to pick up benefits and pharmacies.
Pharmacies? I've never heard that.
Go to a pharmacy. Take a look around one of these days. Always good-looking ladies in
the
pharmacy.
Yeah, but what's the opening line? It's like, hey, what do you have?
Yeah. And when did they have that good look? They started with this good-looking lady now at every pharmacy that works in the perfume section that says hello to you when you walk in. Well done, Pharmapree. Well done.
You see, and if you just built us a goddamn stadium, we would have made that a plug for Jean Coutu. This is The Kaufman Show. We'll be back. All right. I'll talk. Twist my arm. Make me do radio in the middle of the night. Man, Jay, I love this.
What?
That's just this. This is so much. This is so much fun.
Could be worse.
Yeah, I know, right?
Could be worse. I like my jobs. I enjoy them.
Yeah, well.
I'm a lucky guy.
I don't think that people talk about that often enough. I gave a speech at Concordia this week to their to the Link newspaper, who I've become friends with a couple of the staff on the Link through the coverage of the protests that I did last spring. And I don't know if you ever see the tag, the hashtag on Twitter, Manif on Bars. It's not a protest. It's just a bunch of smart people going out drinking. And the editor of...
Sounds like the protest to me.
The editor of the Link, her name is Julia Wolf. And once again, they've really filled a void where the Montreal Mirror and Hour have left. They do a great job of examining what's going on in this city. I didn't realize just how important college university newspapers are. But mm-hmm. They do wonderful, wonderful work. They break stories that other places don't. They go places that other places can't.
That's right.
And there is something wonderfully refreshing about the optimism that they have for this industry. So when they asked me if, when Julia asked me if I would go speak, I was super excited and incredibly nervous because I remember from my time in journalism school that every single journalist that they paraded through to come speak to us depressed the hell out of me. Every single one walked in and said, "This business is cutthroat. You won't make any money. You'll be miserable. It's a dying industry." Every single one. The only one who didn't actually was a business writer who wanted to make clear that you could do this and have fun. Just be aware that you're going to have to make your money somewhere else. And then she sat and taught us how to make money elsewhere. That was super beneficial. Her name was Heather Pengelly. I won't forget her. But everybody else, it was like they were trying to convince you not to go to journalism school. The people in this room who I was sitting with, very informal setting, sat in their newsroom, and probably about 20 students there. And my goal was to not do that. It was to remind them that that optimism and that perspective is so necessary in this industry. It's so important that there are people, young people out there, with that commitment to doing good journalism, to telling the proper story. And it's such a contrast with what we were discussing earlier with writing up fake game stories and things like that. And, you know, I look at the future of this industry, and so many people are so downtrodden about it. Those people didn't need another journalist walking in and telling them how crappy the industry is. No point. They've already made their decisions. Doesn't matter if they're 20 or 25 or 30. If you're going to try and do something, nobody's going to stop you from chasing that dream.
Well, according, if you want a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, according to a CBC News report today, which I saw, which really threw me back, was that newspaper sales during the first half of this year were up by a significant margin.
I did not know that, but considering how low they've sunk, that doesn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm. So maybe it's making a comeback. Maybe. Do what you want to do, people.
Maybe. And that's obviously super encouraging. But yeah. I'll tell you, not everybody in this industry is bitter. Not everybody in this industry thinks that it's going completely down the crapper. Stories will always need to be told. And it's great to know that there are people out there that are ready to tell them and are passionate about it. That is so important to know in this day and age as people retire and people take their places. That the journalism landscape in this city is going to be all right. In fact, it will thrive. It will succeed. And it was an honor to speak to them and to know what's coming up next around the corner. And frankly, so many of the people that you read on a daily basis, be it on blogs, magazines, newspapers, a lot of them come out of that school. A lot of them come out of that program. It was an honor to speak with them.
Remember, right now, journalism and media as it is going through a phase where multimedia, bloggers, Twitter, Facebook, newspapers, television, radio are all colliding. Eventually, the niche will be found and everything will, you know, entropy. Chaos will eventually become peaceful and everybody will find their way through the world. Believe me.
I want to thank our guest tonight, Dave Zirin, who's still feeling that feeling that
comes from, sick. You like it.
Comes from having a 6-0 lead and then not advancing.
I didn't know you were so sick.
I guess I am.
You're loving it.
Our thanks to Dave Zirin. And yeah, don't worry, Dave. You got next year and that feeling goes away. Professor Avi Goldberg, thank you, sir. Beep bop, beep bop, boop, 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 beep bop, bop.
Just in case you want to communicate with him. By the way, we got to talk next week. We got to talk about that Red Bull spaceman because I got stuff to say.
All right, I'm sure it'll still be relevant.
It will be. That thing's going to be playing for another 6 months.
All right, let's hear a little Joel before we call it a day. Thanks,
yeah.
Jay.
Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you understand why we moved away. Will you hold a grudge? It's fun. Davy and me, face down in our suit, some French restaurant. I saw Riviere de Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
You've been listening to The Kaufman Show. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman. We'll be back next week.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?